thank you so much, Schutz and Ellie. I just love your music talk show where you play music and talk about it. It's pretty phenomenal. It's so fun to hear people do things that they are passionate about. And that's what this show is about, Out of the Box. It's a talk show where we play music and talk about all kinds of stuff. Got a good show for you lined up today. Very stoked to do it. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, listening on 90.9, 92.7, 91.9, 104.7. There's so many frequencies that you can choose to listen to the station that loves you. This show is brought to you in part by the fine, fine underwriters of Kalaheo Chiropractic, Soltran Construction, and Qingyang Village. You guys are all fantastic. It's what people do to help the station not just survive, but thrive. And you can join them by supporting KKCR.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Lewis and Eddie Soltran Construction, 639-4836, building quality on Kauai for over 25 years. New custom homes, remodeling, and repairs. Exclusive dealer for Talia's Hurricane Roll-Down Shutters Protection for your home. Lewis and Eddie Soltran Construction, 639-4836, or SoltranConstruction.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And if you appreciate it, you also can go to kkcr.org and click on the donate button. And then, boom, what an amazing investment in community building. We have a show here where we have all kinds of people say all kinds of stuff about all kinds of things. Some of them are you. And it's important to know that you should take personal responsibility for everything you say.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right. And so, if you want to take personal responsibility for what you have to say, you can join us here on your community airwaves at 826-7771. We've got Dan sitting by, ready for the phones. We've got Schutz chilling after his show. We have Dean and LC cranking on the phones. Oh, wait. Maybe that means we're not really ready to take phone calls yet. Yeah, okay, well then, all right, then we're going to go ahead with some different stuff and let these people crank behind the scenes so that you can join us on the show, which is really fantastic. So, this show, community radio, community affairs, call-in talk show, topics, what are you guys looking for in a show? What is it that you want to hear from your community radio? You know, you've got volunteers like myself or Dan or Dave Giroux or Jimmy Trujillo or Felicia Cowden-Alonji or, and the list goes on and on and on. And every day, every week, people come in of their own volition and volunteer their time and share their passion with you in a good faith effort to do the very best we can do in support of the mission of KKCR, which is to reflect and elevate the views and the music that it doesn't get heard so often, to try and treat each situation with our fullest integrity. And I think people do a pretty good job, and I think that most people think so too. What do you think of how we're doing? Write this number down, 826-7771, because we're not ready to have you call in yet, but when we are, you'll know that number, especially if you've never called in before. We have some regulars whose voices by now you probably recognize. There's that one guy who does this. There's that other guy who does that. There's a couple of sisters who call in too. But maybe if you have never felt moved to call in, you could think about that for today. Dan, is your mic up? Let's see. How about that? Check it.
Test.
All right. A plus. Dan is one of the newer volunteers of our community affairs team here at KKCR. And Dan, what encouraged you to step up to the station?
Well, I love that living on such a small island, we have the opportunity to actually effect change in larger cities, larger areas, larger counties across the lower 48. It's a lot harder. If you live in a small town, it's different. Kauai is the ultimate small town.
It really is.
And to see things happen from the grassroots level and progress from there is very inspiring.
So. Yeah, and the grass grows real well here. In fact, all kinds of things do. Yeah, I mean, it's almost like from the jungle roots or so. And that's one of the things I love about Kauai is there's less than 70,000 people here. You cannot help but bump into the same people day after day, week after week. I also like that if you have a big beef with somebody, you got to figure out how to resolve those conflicts and get on with life because you're going to see them again and again. And I think that there's something about the physical qualities of living on an island that promotes certain kind of behaviors and discourages other kinds of behaviors. Because if you're the kind of person who's just constantly scrapping with people, you know what? Eventually the island will just let you go. It will free you up to go out into the world to find that conflict that you want to match up with what's in your heart. On an island, you got to get along with people. And I think that promotes a lot of good things. I think it encourages and inspires us all to look deeper into ourselves and try and find that compassion and try and find a way to more understanding and try and find a way to get along with people because there's nobody else here but us. And the challenges that we face and the problems that we have and the opportunities that present them before, there's nobody else here but us. So we are the ones who've got to figure it out.
That's really true. A great example, a personal example is I've been dating this girl for quite a while now, and she's new to Kauai. I've been here 2-3 years, and she, coming from the mainland, there's a rough vibe there.
Which mainland?
California.
Because there's Africa, there's
That's
Asia,
true.
there's a lot of mainland.
And I said, look, honey, you can't get away with being a dirtbag here. You can for a while, but eventually it's going to eat you up and spit you out.
And I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
I think it's a good thing. I think that if you can't get along, you got to go along. And the other thing is that I think this is what you were kind of getting at a moment ago, is it's a human scale place. If you live in a big metropolis with 6.2 million people or, a place that has undefined boundaries, like you're not really sure where it starts and stops and where it ends, when you live on an island, it's not like that. You know where the shoreline is. And you don't have, there's no question like, well, does it extend? How far? The waves. That's it. You can't really go much further than that.
It's also interesting being a Kauai boy going to the mainland, the U.S. mainland.
Oh, America.
America.
There we go.
And going, wow, people don't make eye contact here. It's an interesting vibe.
Well, again, I think that's socially determined or socially encouraged or reinforced, whatever. Because if you're in a big metropolis and there's that pervasive anonymity, where like if you have a problem with somebody, maybe you want to like take care of it right then again because you may never see them again. And if you make eye contact with somebody, that's an invasion of their personal space. And it can create problems, Like, if you never make eye contact with somebody, then you can each pass each other without any kind of, no situation happens. But you know, what kind of life is that?
It's also very fascinating going to somewhere like Oahu, and I find myself trying to recognize people.
Mm.
And you don't.
Nah, there's more than a million people there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Oahu. everybody has a different take and different understanding of things. Oahu, to me, seems kind of like this metropolis that was that dropped down out of the sky into the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And it's like, it's not of that place. It was put onto that place. Because there's no way that you can have 1.2, 1.4 million people. Like, where did all the concrete come from? Where's all the iron in the girders and the steel and the buildings? I mean, like, every single building that you see was shipped in.
Even the sand at Waikiki Beach.
Yeah. Oahu or Waikiki, that's a curious thing to me. I don't really understand it. It doesn't. And this is just my take. It doesn't really seem very Hawaiian, you know, like Hilo. Hilo is a pretty cool town over on Big Island. Have you spent much time there?
No.
I've only been there a couple of times, but I really like that town. It's my favorite big town in all of Hawaii because it seems like it's of that place. You know, you got all those rusty tin roof houses, and everybody's got their own water collection in their backyard because there's no surface water, and there's no town, there's no buildings in Hilo that I can think of that are more than three or four stories tall, and it's dense, but it doesn't put on airs. It's not trying to be something it's not. It doesn't have like Gucci shops and a Fendi and I don't know, all these like crazy Italian designers and high-end stuff like in Oahu.
It gives them an opportunity to really participate in true aloha and true community, and we're kind of losing that a little bit on Kauai. I don't want to generalize by going Jack in the Box is open and Costco's here, but it's a slow progression when the big corporations come in. It tends to take the aloha away.
Well, it dilutes the culture of the place.
Yeah.
Because the more you put something in there from somewhere else, the more like any place this place becomes. How long have you lived here on Kauai?
Born and raised.
And so how many years is that?
That would be almost 30 years, 29 years so far.
All right. So 30 years almost. You've probably seen some changes. You've lived here almost twice as long as I have. I've been here 13, 14 years, something like that. So I'm a relative newcomer to the island. And even you have lived here your whole life. Gosh, that's not even half a century. And there's been so much change. I've seen it in my own time here. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen?
American culture, Hollywood has really... my father's not from here, but he's been here since he was 17. He's seen some real change, and his parents before him did as well, you know, can't surf certain beaches, can't drive down certain roads.
Yeah, a lot of gates on roads.
So I've seen a very incremental, small change. Part of the deal when you're born here, as long as you're a respectful, good, upstanding citizen, is you tend not to be treated with a lot of disrespect.
If you have a big chip on your shoulder, you're gonna run into problems over and over and over again.
But 30 years ago, you could be the nicest guy, and you would, you know, get into some serious heat in
scraps.
The water. So my father talks about it all the time, about how it's completely changed. And I've had a little taste of it, but not a huge change.
Well, you were born in, what, 85, 86?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you've been here through the 90s and 80s, but you don't have a super long-term picture. You know, whenever I go to a new place, whenever I move to a new place in my life, I've worked really, really hard to find out as much about that place as I can, to talk to the people who know that place the best and in different, you know, ways and have the deepest knowledge. And because I've always felt that if you don't find out about the place where you are, it's like you're not really there. You know, some people come here from California or whatever, and they they lived in some suburban community there, and they plopped themselves down into a suburban community here. And it's like they're not even here. It's like it's a piece of here that's not even here, like Costco.
And those folks tend to always have the Keep Tahoe Blue stickers on their Suburbans. Nothing against those folks, but...
Nothing against Tahoe, and blue's a nice color.
It just it seems like they move from spot to spot, and they don't tend to... not that it's mandatory, it's America, but it's polite to acclimate and try to be a part of the culture and the people.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. America is America. You got North America, you got Central America, you got South America. From Tierra del Fuego all the way up to Canada and points north. That's America.
I'm sorry, I'm public school educated.
Here in the middle of the Pacific, this is not America. I mean, look at the map. You can see, like, oh, wow, it's surrounded by thousands of miles of ocean. None of it's America. A lot of people come here from America, and they're like, oh, this is America. And you're like, yeah, take some geography. Learn some basics. Maybe you glossed over some basics.
I had a good, long conversation with a friend of mine who's got ancestry going way back, and he's an adamant Hawaiian sovereignty advocate. And, you know, I tend to take their side. I agree with a lot of the viewpoints. The only question I posed to him, we were in a little bit of a hurry, but I wonder, I'd love for the Hawaiians to have their own government, but I always tend to think back to Pearl Harbor. It's like, what do you think about the U.S. becoming a, you know, like Puerto Rico or, you know, I'm sorry, a U.S. territory as opposed to, you know, the 50th state? That's something the callers may weigh in on.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, we've got our dedicated and fantastically talented staff, all of them who are named Laura Christine, who are working on the phones right now as we speak, and she's kind of smirking, which I think means she's getting close, but, you know, it'll happen. It'll happen. You rock, Laura Christine. Yeah, she's pressing buttons. Hey, if you're just joining us, this is a special telephone-less version of Out of the Box. Jonathan Jay, I'm your host today. And Dan, what's your last name again?
Born and raised here, it's Dan O'Flattery. But,
a nice Hawaiian name.
It's O'Flaherty or O'Flaherty or however you wish to pronounce it.
Dano. So you mentioned, and just to let you know, listener, we're kind of riffing back and forth a little bit. Dan is one of the more recent volunteers to the community affairs team. And so just kind of doing a little talk story so that you at home or in the car or wherever you are can get to know this new voice. Hopefully hear a lot more of them, because there's always opportunities to plug into the community radio. And I want to encourage people to follow up with your fine example and come to the station and volunteer. And if you want to help make community affairs, wow, you're so welcome. It will be such an opportunity, and you'll learn so much, and so will all we. You mentioned a moment ago about Pearl Harbor, and today is August 6th, that's a day that also lives in infamy. If you may recall, on this day, the military forces of the United States of America decided that the furious efforts of the Japanese to surrender to the U.S. were not good enough. And they thought it would be a great idea to nuke one of their cities. And they looked across the map of all of the different cities in Japan. And, you know, a good number of them had been saturation bombed, high-altitude saturation bombing, all kinds of, tens of thousands of sorties with planes flying overhead. And they had developed all kinds of new types of bombs, incendiary bombs being one, where they... for folks who don't really know about this so much, the U.S. Armed Forces, they pioneered a new form of urban bombardment called firebombing, and they used Tokyo as the test pad for that. They dropped so much tonnage of incendiary bombs that weren't designed to blow things up but to set them on fire, that they actually created a mini weather system inside Tokyo where the fires were so huge that they were sucking in air for tens of miles around. There were wind speeds that were over 100 miles an hour with these literal fire storm raging in Tokyo. Much of the buildings were made of wood and rice paper. So, boy, house of fire, you have a whole city of fire, and hundreds of thousands of people were incinerated.
And there's some fascinating photos on the internet. I hate to use that word, but...
Internet?
Interwebs.
The netwebs.
Yeah. Of the heat was so intense that they actually burned the shadow of individuals into the pavement.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. But what I was getting at was the... kind of sidetracked myself there. But the atomic bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and a lot of people don't know this, but the reason those cities were selected to drop those nuclear bombs on is because they did not have any military significance. And what that meant was they had not been heretofore bombed by any of the incendiary bomb campaigns or the tens of thousands of sorties that the U.S. Air Force had been conducting in Japan for, you know, like a year or two beforehand. So these cities were pristine. They weren't damaged. And the U.S. war planners thought, hey, what a great opportunity to find out exactly what this here nuclear bomb is going to do, but to drop it on a city that hasn't even been touched.
And it's amazing when you consider the theory, I'm not saying it's true or untrue, that the president at the time was aware of the...
Harry Truman
was aware of the fleets heading towards Pearl Harbor. And
you're back in 1940 again. Okay, all right.
And
I'm in 45.
People allege that they had prior knowledge that Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked.
Well, it is a historical fact that the Japanese imperial codes had been cracked months before Pearl Harbor ever happened.
Hmm.
And it's also a historical fact, and a lot of people don't know this either, but the U.S. fleet had an oil embargo on the main islands of Japan. And oil was the main way that they heated their homes in the wintertime. So they only had like an 18-month supply of oil. And the Japanese population, you know, senior citizens, children, parents, families, they were all going to freeze to death if the Japanese didn't do something about the embargo. So, and none of this, I say, in defense of anything bad that Japan did. But what I am getting at is the U.S. was not a perfect player, that they were not without guilt, that they also did terrible, terrible things that are morally bankrupt, and had somebody else won the war, the decision makers and the planners who are responsible for those decisions would have faced war crimes, would have gone to jail, because that stuff is just terrible. It's like large-scale criminal activity. And it's really difficult when you're the citizen of a country and you have to face the facts that, wow, my country didn't do good things.
It was a new frontier of warfare at the time. Instead of directly killing the enemy, you kill their food supply, their resources.
Yeah, it's called total war. Mm-hmm. Total war. At home, you can't see the crazy pantomiming that Laura, Christine, and Dean just went through. It was kind of a victory dance. A comedic pantomiming of pleasure. The phone's working again?
Yeah.
Dean, you are awesome.
It's one of those things where you really have to, you don't want to hate the country you live in.
No, you don't. You want
it to be better.
You want to think, hey, we're the good guys.
And when you hear about Gulf of Tonkin,
bad.
And it's just, it's amazing that certain folks in the world will deny such events.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that. I think maybe because it hurts too much. They're like, it hurts too much. I can't allow that for it to be true. But I kind of come from a different place. I think like, wow, you know what? If you look at it honestly, then you can admit that it was wrong, and then we can agree together not to do stuff like that in the future.
That shatters their worldview. I think it's a form of cognitive dissonance in
yeah.
certain cases.
I think you're right, but I think people should be braver. I think they should step up, like this person right here who called in and then hung up. All right, that person's gone again. So today is the 60th? Let's see. 55, 65, 75, 85, 95, 100, 70. Today is the 70th anniversary of the deliberate atomic destruction, terrorism you could call it, of the U.S. on Nagasaki and Hiroshima that blasted those cities to smithereens. One of the cities, I'm not sure which one it was, but it sits in kind of a valley, like a bowl, like a perfect bowl. And the again... The war planners are like, hey, that's going to create a perfect cup for the bow shock of a blast if we drop it right here and let it explode at a certain elevation. And the city hasn't been touched, so it's pristine. And then we can go in and document and see exactly what the strength of this destructive capacity of this new weapon is.
A lot of something overlooked is... because there was no internet, but allegedly there was a lot of terrorist cells in that country that were planning to. I'm being facetious.
Oh.
But
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't
you know,
do
it's,
that.
It's
no.
Just
bad
such
habit.
It's such a sad situation.
You know why? You know why?
Blaming poor farmers in Afghanistan, and so. I'm just saying, if we had the technology, then they would be saying, well, they were planning attacks against the U.S.
And yeah.
It's a strange way to look at it, but...
meritless.
Yeah. So, didn't mean to be crude, but that's the way the military-industrial complex seems to operate.
Well, they...
Pearl Harbor.
They seem to do things that make money for their sector of the economy. Pearl Harbor... I think today is one of the few days that it's good not to talk about Pearl Harbor because a different, even more terrible thing happened on this day, and you know, 100,000 innocent civilians were incinerated just to find out how well a bomb worked, and the Japanese were already desperately trying to surrender, but the U.S. was refusing their terms. Crazy. And sad. And if we don't look at that honestly and recognize the wrongness that it was, we could do it again. And that would be even worse. So as terrible as it was, I think on this day, 70 years after the fact, we can look at this and go, wow, you know what? That was terribly wrong. That should never have happened.
Yeah. And for the Japanese Americans to be interned...
Terribly wrong. Should never have happened.
We had a General Wesley Clark come out on the news last week, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
And proposed that folks that do not agree with the American way of life, have different ideologies, should be separated and interned. He said this on MSNBC show. So it's kind of a trial balloon to see how people react, but he more or less...
Send it up the poll and see who'll salute it?
Yeah, see who objects to it and see how many of the American public go, yeah, we gotta get... Because the war on terror is a never-ending game.
Well, you can't have a war against a tactic.
And then when you find out that the FBI is behind 90% plus of the plots where they basically goad a mentally ill person into thinking they're participating in a drill.
It's like a terroristic entrapment or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's no good.
So it's
that's
just,
no good.
It's really bothersome that folks from my generation don't seem to care.
I think a lot of it is they just don't really know.
That's true, but with the amount of information at our fingertips...
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. All that information at your fingertips, that's like all the snowflakes in the sky. There's too many to count. You can get inundated. Before you have a good inventory, you're buried by snow. And that's what happens with information. I don't know how you deal with information, the news, the media, whatever. I make a point... And I offer this to you as a listener. I make a point to not pay attention deliberately, not maybe as much as I can, but a lot, because the less I have all of this unfiltered noise streaming through my head, the more calmness I have and the more ability I have to rationally discern and assess and make sense of and calibrate and organize, you know, do actual thinking, it's pretty valuable.
That's an amazing way to handle the onslaught.
It's an onslaught, right? It really is. So, coming at you in this channel, on that channel.
So to be able to live your life, be happy, but selectively pay attention to, you know, there's always going to be a big story.
To things that matter, or a friend or people you know or trust or folks who have a good track record will bring something up to you like, oh, okay, I'll take notice of that.
Yeah, I think because I went through, and friends of mine did, where you get caught in the bubble, where you're almost obsessed with the news.
The bubble.
It's a cycle of fear, which it almost appears the media is perpetuating.
I have a theory. I have a theory about that. Do you have a theory about that?
I'd like to hear. I do.
Let me hear your theory.
I believe it's their job to, first of all, for ratings, but to keep the American people in a perpetual state of fear.
Why?
So that the military-industrial complex can continue to profit. As you know, we have federal prisons that have... they have to have
millions of people in jail, not just federal, but federal, state, and then commercial
and private. Where, where they have to have a quota. Of the amount. So they're creating.
Where they, the more people who are in jail, the more money they make.
Exactly.
So they have a financial interest in getting as many people in jail as possible because they profit from prisons.
And that's terrifying.
Well, it's counterproductive. The profit motive should be attached to things you want more of. Because if you can make money at doing something, more people are likely to do it. And so you should be really careful, I think, to not incentivize terrible things. Because if you do, you will have more of it. That's like basic economic theory. But the problem with that economic system is it doesn't have any discretion. It doesn't have any moral compass. It doesn't discern between right or wrong. It just looks at the bottom line. So if you're creating toxicity to a population and that promotes disease or cancer or whatever, hey, that's a business opportunity.
And beyond that, there's absolutely no accountability. So when you look at federal agencies like the TSA or the Department of Homeland Security, it's... As much as I'm for a certain type of free market economy, not crony capitalism, but barter, these corporations are basically committing felonies on a daily basis. And they're writing so many laws.
Well, but now hold on, because felony, that has a specific legal definition, right? Like, just because something's morally wrong doesn't mean it's a crime or even a felony.
Oh, I understand that. But as far as laundering money, doing illegal things on Wall Street, fixing the market, those are just a few examples. It's like they're incentivizing crime. They're not punishing the people at the top. If they do, it's a slap on the wrist. And it's just a... that's why I love Kauai, where it's a community where we can go, hey...
Yeah, we don't have a lot of those big problems, and it's not a perfect place, but the problems here are human size. You know, a person such as yourself or myself or you, the listener, you can go to the mayor and say, hey, mayor, what's up with that? You can talk to Mel or Ross or Gary or Joanne or I don't want to miss anybody. Who else am I missing? Kipukai or Mason. Or Errol. You know, they see him. They see him around. You can actually plug in. You can actually get engaged. You can actually talk directly to the decision makers. You can say, hey, this isn't a good idea, and here's why. They don't have to do what you say, but they have to listen. Listening. What makes great radio? What makes great radio? What do you think makes great radio?
a dialogue where two people don't necessarily have to agree, but they don't become argumentative.
They're we can agree disagreeably. No, we can disagree. No, wait. We can agree to disagree.
And then sometimes you end up finding a middle ground. And the most boring radio I've ever heard of is an echo chamber of three right-wingers or three left-wingers just kind of parroting the same talking points.
I've never heard three left-wingers on radio. That would be interesting to me.
Right-wingers included.
You heard plenty of them.
Yeah.
Plenty middle of the road or conservative Democrats or whatever, but wow, left-wing radio, what would that even be?
Maybe I should rephrase. Maybe not left-wing radio, but certain shows on MSNBC.
Yeah, that's not left-wing.
It's in the middle, but they do tend to lean left, just like Fox most definitely leans to the right. Would you agree?
No. I would not know. I think you've got the right, the far right, and the ultra right. And then sometimes you have moderates.
That's what I'm a big fan of, moderates. I don't watch a lot of TV. I do catch clips, but I do find, and I'm not harping or saying anything negative about MSNBC. I love watching Chris Matthews, Joe Scarborough clips. Usually it's on YouTube, but you'll get a few, it's kind of like an echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few examples, clips I've seen. I don't mean to generalize, for the whole channel, where they're getting their talking points from, you know, the Daily Kos or wherever it may be, just like Fox gets all its talking points from
Beelzebub.
Yeah, or the Kosh brothers or Koch brothers, White House, you know, 2000 to 2008. So I completely agree that Fox is completely right-wing.
I love Fox, especially because I never watch it, but I just love the idea of it. I love the idea of it. They're such cartoonish manifestations of the crazy pro-corporate agenda. It's delightful. I love to watch it. But what do you think makes for great radio? 826-7771.
I couldn't tell by your recording. It's very noisy and you don't know what's going on.
Caller, you're on the air. Can you hear me, caller? Oh, that caller hung up. Hey, listener, now is your big chance. Now is your big opportunity. 826-7771. We've got kind of an open show today. We're talking about this and that. We're just riffing, doing a little talk story about media, about different channels of information, about things going on in the world, about things here on the island. We got the phones are back in operating functional capacity again at 826-7771. What even were they before that?
What were they what?
Before they were working, what were they?
Lightning struck.
Oh, again?
No, it's we're still recovering.
My God. You know, lightning, it's amazing how long it lasts. You think it's only just there for a split second, but no, it lasts for months. 826-7771. We're back on the phones again. It's really nice to be able to have people call into the show. Otherwise, you just listen to me all the time, and even I don't like that. What kind of stuff have you heard on KKCR on these talk shows that has really inspired you that you've never heard before, a viewpoint or a perspective or a piece of information that you had never known about, and it popped something in your head? It's like, wow, it gave you a whole series of thoughts. It took you someplace you'd never been before.
Well, first of all, I'd have to say the community aspect, where anybody can have their voice heard and they're welcomed and with open arms. Concepts about being self-sustainable. Just the fact that we can come together in this beautiful little part of the North Shore and have an open conversation. It just made me go, I'm going to go volunteer and see where it goes from there.
Aloha, caller. Thank you for joining us on the local community airwaves. What is on your heart or mind today?
let me see. What is on my mind? You know, I want to give a shout out to Chris Yeo, who's the manager of Toyota in Lahui.
Okay, that's a first.
So gracious. He's such a wonderful businessman, PR guy. I had a problem last week with the service department. I felt like something wasn't right. And so he was so gracious, he let me talk to him for about 15 or 20 minutes about the problem, the billing problem that I thought I had. And he agreed with me, and he corrected it. And it was really fun because I'm not a big, you know, I don't own a fleet of cars, you know, I'm not a big shot millionaire. I just have a little Toyota sedan. And he treated me like a VIP customer.
What does that stand for, VIP?
Just
very indignant person, or?
Well, no, he treated me like who would anybody else? You know, he struck me as that kind of person, and you know, it made me become a satisfied customer of Toyota down there, where I will bring my car back, but just on the grand scale, you know, that we need more business people with that ethic, like Chris Yeo has, to treat the little guys just as well and as gracious as all the other people.
I was really impressed with that guy.
I joke with him, you know, if I owned a Fortune 500 company, I'd hire him to run it for me. But anyway, I hope somebody who's listening, who's connected with Toyota, will tell him. Even though I called him, I gave him a courtesy call after everything worked out. And at the end of the day, all the service people of the service department were really gracious and good to me too. I mean, we all got back into the saddle, we mended fences, and we got all back online, and everything worked out. And it was a real kind of rewarding, you know, small town, little Kauai kind of thing that happened to me last week, and I just wanted to mention it.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks a lot, Dan.
All right. There you go. The small town of Kauai working well. There's a lot of things going on the islands, and one of them is coming up this Sunday. It's the Unity March, and if you don't know about the Unity March, you can type in Unity March Waikiki August 9th on your browser if you have access to the internet webs, and check it out. It's a whole array of Hawaiian organizations and environmental organizations and organic agriculture and cultural stewardship groups all coming together in unity and demonstrating their solidarity to be righteous, just, and pono, and to be culturally respectful, and to protect the aina, and to protect that which feeds us, and to protect the sacred cultural places. And if you know about that, you should call in at 826-7771 and share your knowledge with the rest of the listeners here on Kauai Community Radio. got a caller who's just called in right now. I'm just bravely going to stick you live on the air. Aloha, caller.
Aloha, Jonathan. Aloha, Koi. Yeah, you know, just kind of going in with the small town talk. You know, one of the really cool things about being on this island is sharing food. And I think one of the beautiful things about our island is the potential to grow all our own food and share our food. And there's a pretty cool opportunity that's going to be going down at the Kauai Community College this fall.
Oh, yeah, talk about that. That's the new agricultural, it's kind of like a teaser program, trying to, like, hook people in who say they want to grow food but don't actually understand the business mechanics of it.
Yeah. So the program is called Go Farm Hawaii, which gives hands-on training and provides experience in sustainable agriculture and farm management, providing science and business aspects and exposure to that. If people are interested in, you know, learning a little bit more about it, there's kind of a recruitment kind of information session coming up Tuesday, August 18th from 6 to 8 over at the Kauai Community College Office of Continuing Education and Training. And we're going to have a couple different farmers come in and talk story, you know, experienced veteran farmers on the island, kind of, you know, share them in the all about challenges, benefits, lifestyles, stuff like that, you know, and kind of have a couple different other government agencies come in and, that help farmers, you know, kind of talk about stuff and just kind of provide resources. And then, you know, for those that are interested, we do farm tours and then with hands-on training with different experts from around the state. And we do on-site training as well over at the community college. So check us out.
Do these state experts, are there any talks or plans to provide agricultural land for this reason? Or
yeah, so if folks have these new skills that you're going to be introducing them to in a real-world nuts and bolts way, what will they be able to have land to do it?
So what we provided at the moment, just, you know, kind of on an agricultural-based grant, is for about 6 months, individuals are given parcel of land which they can take the skills that they learn in the classroom, whether it's both the business side of developing a cropland and the science side of developing the crop plan and that of the business side of a marketing plan, and kind of put those skills together and start to learn their own style, what works for them.
So like a actual laboratory.
Yeah, an on-site, get dirty, get your feet all stinky and just earthy laboratory.
That makes good sense, because if you give people knowledge that's abstract and you don't provide the actual hands-on tools to get your hands dirty, then you're kind of, it's an abstract exercise.
Yeah, and, you know, just for me, like, I can't really get other people involved any other way than just to get down and dirty. You know, it's just only seems the way to do things in farming.
Well, if you're doing it, you're doing it. And if you're not, you're not.
That's pretty much the deal. So if you want to do it, you want to do it. And, you know, so far we actually got one of our students this year who's now going to be hired as a kind of a farm manager for a bigger operation on island. And the reason they got hired is because they went through the farm training program. So at the moment, we maybe don't have, hey, here's free land for you, but here's a way to really get your foot in the door and be successful. So,
is there a plan to propose the idea to the county council or Governor Ige in the future?
That's a little bit beyond my scope of things, but there's the program is kind of more established on Oahu already. And I know that we've had Washington come in with, I want to say Maisie, come in and just kind of check out the program on Oahu. And
see if she can kick down some federal dollars that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what's sustaining the program. So price-wise, for a six-month program with education, farm tours, and hands-on experience, it's well-subsidized, I guess is the way to say it on free radio. So.
And from what I understand, it's very not cost-effective, but you can do it in a relatively small area, so people can start, you know, on private property.
Right.
And
like small-scale intensive stuff? Or
that's exactly, you know, what we're working on here, and I think, you know, that's the only way that's going to sustain the local farmer and then not exhaust themselves without overly overdoing the resource needs.
Because we've seen a lot of protests and a lot of anti-GMO rallies, and I've spoke with quite a few people about this issue, and we've all kind of come to the consensus that the best thing to do, you can continue to voice your opinion, is to actually do.
Grow some food?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the whole idea behind the farm program, is it's Go Farm. So, go farm something already.
And is there a website we can, is it gofarm.com?
Yeah, it's, goodness gracious, it's gofarm.org.
Well, I'm glad that you that you're.
I'm sorry, gofarmhawaii.org.
Okay, thanks for spelling that out. The first several times that I heard about this, I kept thinking I was hearing Grove Farm.
I know.
And I was like, so confused.
But,
I was like,
it's a program that's been established on Oahu for a while now, and it's running its second course of government funding. Over here on Kauai, and just starting on the island of Maui as well. Just to, you know, for those that are really curious in farming and maybe don't have all the skills, like, let's try to hook up the guys that are the best with things and give them the best that they can, or
that makes sense.
Allocate resources. And
yeah, because you know why?
Farming is the new sexy, so let's keep it sexy.
Well, and if you are if you like food and you think food should be grown here, and you think it should be grown organically and sustainably and in keeping with indigenous agricultural techniques that we know are sustainable for 1,000 years, put some mana where your mouth is and start growing food.
I heard there's a gentleman on there's a gentleman on YouTube who does some neat instructional videos. Would you care to give his name out over the air? He has a little farming technique. Have you heard of the
What farming technique is this?
There's a gentleman on YouTube I've heard about who does a very interesting step-by-step video guide on this this issue.
There's 1,001 gentlemen that do stuff about farming and gardening and stuff. So
did you have somebody specifically in mind?
Yeah, there was a specific one that was mentioned to me recently. I do not recall his name. I was hoping the caller may be able to refer me to that, but like he said, there are quite a few. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, the concept behind the program is to at least give you exposure into seeing what's available to you as tool resources. So, you know, you cannot get all the information in the world, but I think the idea for getting people that are really interested exposed to things is a great step forward to securing our future resources here on the island.
Well, I've heard you or some other callers call in several times over the last couple of weeks about this program. It sounds like it's really got a lot to offer, and I want to thank you so much for calling in. We're going to go to the top of the hour with some of our underwriting messages and such. You're listening to Out of the Box on KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, and as well as this other important frequency. There we go.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
Out of the Box is brought to you in part with wonderful underwriting support from Hawaii Life, the Tahiti Nui, Compassionate Care, and viewers and listeners just like you.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
So thank you so much for support like that. If you want to get that fantastic good feeling that you can get from investing in community building at KKCR, please explore the KKCR.org website. You'll find a little button there called Donate. Click on it and you will discover the magic. We were talking a moment ago about local farming education. And we were also talking a moment ago about the Aloha Aina March coming up in Waikiki on Sunday, August 9th. So check this out.
Aloha mai kako, skaloka I kanuha, from Huiloa Fish Pond, Kahana, Oahu. Inviting everybody to come out on Sunday, August 9th, to Waikiki for an Aloha Aina March on Kalakaua Avenue starting at Saratoga Street. We'll be meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning. Bring your pool, bring your high Hawaii, bring your la'i. Wear red if you can so that we can all be in unison and in unity in that regard. And come be a part of what I consider to be the greatest activation, mobilization, and unification of our people since 1897. Come experience Aloha Aina, a day for Ohana, for Keiki, for Makua, for Kupuna. And at the end, at Kopiolani Park, we'll have an event. Music, vendor, crafts, so on and so forth. So please join us August 9th, Waikiki, 10 o'clock in the morning, meeting at Saratoga Street, Aloha Aina March down Kalakaua Avenue. Mahalo nui. Aloha.
So that's something going on over on Oahu. It's a unity march where different Hawaiian organizations, cultural organizations, agricultural groups, environmental groups, people who believe that this is a precious place where we live and we should come together and work to defend it and increase the vitality and life of the land itself, that which sustains us. That's going to be taking place over on Oahu. But it strikes me that if you're going to have a unity march, gosh, there should be one on every single island, because shouldn't we all be practicing unity, not just here and not just there, but everywhere? It's a consideration. The phone lines here are 826-7771. They are OPEN, which means you can call in right now and Zoom, get on to the air. What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What's new? You say you watch TV a little bit.
I don't watch any television. I watch news aggregate sites and video clips of certain things that catch my interest.
I never watch TV.
That's awesome.
I never watch TV. I stopped watching TV in 2000. And wow, I have so many more free hours in my day.
It's been 7 years for me, and there was a notable change. But for some folks that may not have time, maybe working, won't be able to make it to the Unity March, who care about the Aina, who care about eating non-GMO food.
Or not even just non-GMO food, but food that is healthy and vital and nutritious and grown in a way that supports the people who grow it and does not extract and degrade the capacity of the land itself to be fecund and verdant and filled with life.
And if you do choose to, we'd like to have the opportunity to know what we're putting on our bodies. So if you'd like to go to, as you know, the White House has petitions. In 2007, the president promised to label GMOs. So there's actually a White House petition on whitehouse.gov petitioning President Barack Obama to keep his 2007 promise to label GMOs. So that's another way to get involved.
That's a pretty long list, though, isn't it? I mean, the list of things that Barack Obama promised that he still hasn't delivered on. I guess that's true for every president, but I know that that's a guy who came into the White House with a lot of people who've been frustrated for a long time, thought that, you know, government was fundamentally not working, and this guy promised hope and change. And he got a lot of flack for that from across the political spectrum because why? Because maybe when you get into the White House, you find out that it's not so easy to do stuff, or especially if you're not trying.
That's why I was speechless when you posed the question to me, because every president does it. This president, I myself had some optimism and hope. I mean, I'd love to see Guantanamo Bay closed. I'd love to see the children stop being killed by drone strikes, but
extrajudicial drone strikes.
Yeah. There's a comedian long since passed away who did a great bit about presidents, and he basically said that they're going to campaign on what they're going to campaign on, and when they get elected, they get brought into a bunker below the White House, and they get shown about five different angles of the JFK assassination. Bill Hicks.
Oh yeah, Bill Hicks. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an interesting way of looking at it. He seemed to have good intentions. I'd hate to think that he was lying the whole time. I obviously have no idea, so I'm not going to make a judgment. But if you want to at least have your voice heard, although we're all fairly sure nothing's going to be done about it, petitions tend to just be for ceremonial reasons these days. But, hey, if you want to have your voice heard, we saw what happened with the mayor vetoing the county council. So it's...
You're talking about 2491 about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, that veto was overridden. And that bill did go into law, and then it was challenged in the courts. And I don't really know where that process is right now, but...
Well, the thing about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, which basically...
That was a big leap just there, by the way.
It ties in together.
Okay.
The TPP gives corporations carte blanche over countries, cities,
yeah,
counties.
Yeah, it sets up a series of corporate-directed corporate tribunals that are able to strike down and overrule democratically achieved legislation in democratic countries where they have people voted in office by the people.
So that the
overriding home rule.
Yeah, so that's how it ties in, yeah. The county council.
And then
fining
people for creating laws that they feel degrade their capacity to generate profit.
So it seems like a large leap, but in reality, once this goes into effect, it could be...
It will be institutionalized at the international level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not so good.
No.
826-7771. Listening to Out of the Box. It's a beautiful day here in Kauai. We're broadcasting to you from the North Moku of Halelea, the House of Beauty, House of Pleasure here on Manokalanipo, the island of Kauai. If you are on this island, or if you are somewhere else on this island Earth, give us a call, 826-7771. We'd love to get your views, hear your voice, hear the things that matter to you on your community radio. Make an investment of time in broadcast on the airwaves, 826-7771.
So there's a lot of things that at the moment may seem like a very large stretch, like that last point I brought up.
And well,
for the time being, it is. But, you know, everything progresses.
It does. It does. But when you introduce a new topic, or if you make a leap, it's helpful to carry the listener with you and say, and that relates to this in such a way.
Yeah. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments or questions on the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
I do. Where is it right now? I know they voted to fast track it, and that went through the House and the Senate. I don't know what condition it is in other countries, but I don't think that they've voted up or down on it yet. Is that correct?
I believe they support it because it's going to actually benefit their
economy. Taken the vote?
Does it count? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I believe it will be signed by our president, and it's one of those bills where we will find out what is in it once it is passed.
Yeah, probably not, actually.
Yeah, you are right.
Yeah, I know that Congress did recently just pass the DARK Act. The DARK Act is some legislation that expressly forbids the content of your food to be known. So that's a very curious thing. If it's so great, why don't they want to tell you?
Is there another name that goes by other than the DARK Act? Is it the Labeling Act?
Freedom from Information Labeling Act?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Patriot Act and all these terms that are very positive, but when you look at the implications, they're very...
Not what the title might seem to suggest.
Yeah.
That's called marketing.
It's inverting reality, it's marketing, it's amazing. And that's what's wonderful about living on such a small island. We can affect change. One thing I'd love to hear from other folks about, the barking dog ordinance.
I think that was repealed, yeah?
It was repealed
all
today
right.
or yesterday, but
pretty recently.
Today.
And then since then, I haven't heard a lot of barking dogs.
Yeah, we just moved... the whole argument, the argument I heard from a lot of folks was that it was a cultural thing. You folks are not from here. It's our hunting dogs. It's our way of life.
I think there's a certain amount of that.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that in the last 10, 15 years, I've certainly noticed that as the... mostly white, mostly well-to-do, mostly from America, people come here that they feel entitled to have an increasing degree of impact in how things run here. They haven't generally been so appreciative or so respectful of local customs, of local traditions. And it seems like the last couple, 3 to 5 years, there's been some pushback against that. And I've seen it manifest in the barking dog ordinance or the no can have fires in your backyard ordinance. Little things where they're sort of like cultural sniping from the sides. But really what it boils down to is, hey, whose island is it? You know, and it's a funny kind of a thing because I think a lot of this is also in response to 2491. You know, a lot of the large agricultural corporations, the large landholders on this island who are doing experimental testing and stuff, they didn't really like that sort of progressive meddling with their business model. And so it seems like it was the case during the 2491 tussle politically that in with the red shirts and the blue shirts, that it seemed like there was some cultural or some the racial card was kind of being played. People tried to turn it into an argument of locals versus Malahini Howleys. And I don't think that was a very accurate assessment of the situation, but I think that it had some traction.
Absolutely. There was a percentage of folks that fell into that arena.
Yeah, and I think it's unfortunate. And it's also ironic in a way because the people who are pushing to change this place the most in ways that are very unhelpful to this place, that's not progressives who want to foster grassroots resilience in our community. So it's kind of like folks are getting all stirred up in the wrong direction. But that's just my 2 cents.
I agree. I just moved out of a house due to 7 barking dogs, and it had nothing to do with skin color, ethnicity. It was 7 barking dogs nonstop, and so I agree there are some folks that are just wanting to change things because of their status as far as money or influence, but I do not think that's the majority. I think there are a lot of dogs that are just untrained, the owners are busy, and I really, in my personal opinion, think they should have at least, you know, amended it in some way.
What is your personal opinion? 826-7771. We've got a caller who's been waiting patiently. Aloha, caller, you're not on the air. you hung up before I could get you on. Please call back, 826-7771. Yeah, I don't think barking dogs are really getting at the heart of the matter, though. I think that's a lot of bark and not a lot of bite. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Can you hear me, caller?
Hello.
Hello.
I want to say something about the barking dogs.
Please do.
That is a serious issue. I just moved out of a house with barking dogs. And when you are willing to give up $1,200 to get away from something that's so horrendous, that is a serious issue. This is like a humane issue because people have too many little dogs that they can't keep or treat well. So it's not a Howley versus locals issue. I'm a transplant too, but, you know, be humane to your dogs. Most of the barking dogs are barking because they're not fed. They don't get any attention. They don't have enough space.
Were these, hunting dogs or little dogs?
They were little dogs. You know, I think a lot of the hunting dogs are actually probably your more well-trained and paid attention to dogs.
Yeah, well, those are a hunter's tools. You got to take good care of your tools or they won't serve you well, especially if you're hunting for food. Hey, that's how you eat.
Yeah, and then I was reading on the articles and stuff. The complaints aren't about hunting dogs. It's about the little yappy dogs and the dogs that are cooped up and not fed and not watered and not paid attention to.
So if you have real instances of dogs that are abused or not taken well care of or confined or barking incessantly and really creating a disturbance, and yet in spite of that, you have this strange alchemy taking place on the county council, what's driving that in the counter direction? Because it seems like if you have a problem, you should be able to take care of it. And yet there's this strange push on the council to get rid of that. Why do you think that was?
I think it was probably hiding something. Just, you know, let's do a whole bunch of public debates about something that some people have some opinions about and throw it in the newspaper, and we'll conduct our business quietly on the side.
Because that's what's the most intriguing thing to me is, for all the facts in the matter, yet the tide on the council is going the opposite direction. So there's got to be a force that is driving that countercurrent. And that's,
or maybe it's internal dynamics. They're trying to stick it to Joanne Yukimura because it was her law, and now they're saying, we're pissed at you, and, you know, we're going to repeal your ordinance.
What measures did you take to try to correct the situation, if any, before moving out?
I tried to talk to the guy who had the dogs, but, you know, he just said, oh, it's feral cats, I can't do anything. And it was actually really a scary guy. So I'm like, you know, not a huge person, and I'm a woman, so I could see how people would feel really intimidated talking to larger Hawaiian or, you know, local folks. about their dogs. A lot of the arguments in the paper were that, you know, having a law about the barking dogs is just, it's stopping neighbors from talking to their neighbors. But
well, ideally, that would be the best way to take care of the problem, because then you don't have to involve like a whole extra layer of folks. People just
it
say,
would be.
Yeah,
and
ideally, just say, hey,
step.
That's there was a guy, not one or two, but like three or four houses away from my place a couple days ago, playing some music. It was incredibly loud. I couldn't believe how loud it was. And as I walked over to his place, it was farther and farther away than I thought it ever could be in the first place. But I went over to him and I said, hey, you know what? I had to wave my hands at him because he couldn't hear a word I was saying. I was like, brah, this is too loud. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Problem solved.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
But it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, it doesn't always work that way.
Did you get the impression that it was just easier to blame the animal as opposed to taking personal responsibility?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, thank you for calling in and sharing those views. Appreciate that. And please please do call again.
Okay, that's my 2 cents.
Awesome.
Thank you. Bye.
Phone lines are open, 826-7771. It's kind of an experimental show today. We've never done this show before. This is the first time, in fact, that I ever just made this noise right now. We're making it up as we go along, folks. You're Kauai Community Radio. What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What's on your heart is something that Michael Vandeveer used to say. For folks who don't know, Michael Vandeveer was... I think he was the guy who started this show about 15, 16, 17 years ago. Very interesting character, kind of irascible, kind of curious, with a great heart and he loved to play tricks. He really did. He was a funny fellow. But he had a real interesting way of looking at the world. And he always would say to folks who would call in, not what's on your mind, but what's on your heart. And he wouldn't ask people what they thought about things. He would ask them how they felt about it. And I remember when I first heard him do that, I thought, well, that's kind of like, what's up with that? What's the point of that? But the more I reflected on it, the more I began to feel that there's a value in looking at the world from more than just one place inside yourself. You know, you can have the way you think about things, and you can have the way you feel about them, and maybe they're not the same. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Are you there, caller? Aloha, caller. Now you're on the air.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate.
Yeah, for sure. You know, sometimes we got to understand, you know, when we move to a different country,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, say, Polynesia, expected the Hawaiian people live there, for one, you know?
Mm-hmm,
but
true.
But you got to realize, in 1893, there was a crime committed.
Yep, international violation.
To allow these people to come here, and that's now turning our way of life around. Because our dogs bark, you think, you just remember, she moved to this island. We were here. We had hunting dogs. That's our way of life. That's our food. We eat. Whether we're hunting, whether we're pets, we love our animals too. And if you move in a neighborhood and you hear the dogs, maybe you should move to another neighborhood with no more dogs. Instead of going after these big, local, scary guys, because most locals are big people. But, you know, they're gentle giants too.
True.
And if you come to them in the right attitude and speak in the right way, you might get a right answer out of the people.
That's been my experience.
You come over there and put your hands in your hip and you try and tell these people what to do in their own land after they got raped and robbed from their own land, and now they got to go rent on house because these guys came and pillaged and raped their lands and raped their way of life. I don't think so. You got to realize you move here. You move to a place where they got taken advantage of and everything stolen from them. And the last thing they get is their dog, and you like them go cut the council out or whatever it takes. You shut the dog up or give the guy a ticket because the dog barking. That is ridiculous.
When I was a kid, I lived in a small town, and there was a road on the way out of town. And it was all, you know, there was not, like, lots of developments. It was, you know, kind of forest and stuff. And there was a kennel out there, ways, like, a mile or two out of road, mile or two out of town. There was a kennel there. And then I watched as some apartment buildings were built right next door to it. And what do you know? All these people who moved into those studio apartments and whatnot, they moved next door to a kennel. Then they were complaining about all the dogs barking. I always thought that was hilarious.
Well, you know, one thing is funny, but when you come and tell a local person to tell his dog, shut up, or I'm going to take you caught. Then here comes the Humane Society, who made their own entity so they can go around and enforce this animal law that the United States of America protects. But yet they stay in Polynesia, and they're not protecting us from those vultures that stealing everything from us. But yet they protect the dogs, the seal that they brought, Solomon, Hawaiian monk seal. But they brought them over here, and they call them on Hawaiian monk seal. This is just absurd.
So let me ask you.
Our way of life is our way of life. Don't come in my yard, tell me how to live my life, or shut my dogs up, or anything like that. Remember, you moved here, so you respect the people here. That's their way of life.
Let me ask you this, brother. How can people resolve their differences in a respectful way where everybody feels like they're heard? Because I hear what you're saying.
We've never been heard. When are they going to start listening to us? When are they going to start realizing we should start listening to these guys? Because we always get the background. We always get the solutions. Every time there's a problem, us locals get a solution. It's not to the standard of the United States of America, because we are not that. We're our own entity. We live our own way of life. But yet they come with guns. They threaten us. They pull our people over with our plates. They threaten them. They take them court. They, like, take them jail. Yeah? But yet, and then they're going to come in and tell us, we got to tell our dog, shut up, or cut the tonsils. I don't know. Well, you know, but figure it out. We've been screwed over many times, taken advantage of many times, raped from our own land many times. And now they, like, tell us we cannot do this and we can't do that. No, they got to stop and realize there is a kingdom that sits here. There's a recognized kingdom. And the state and county ain't recognizing, because once they do, they're nobody. So they're using their guns and ways and United States laws to suppress us. They get county park people suppressing us. They get people all over this island now suppressing the people. It's a continuation of the genocide, of the illegal overthrow. It's just same thing. They, like, shut Hanalei Pia down. They, like, take the beach away from the people. So some people that lives on the hillside. You know, many things going on. And we got to really look at what's going on. But you got to remember, we should be the people they should be coming to and asking permission. Not the state and county. Because they're the guys stole. They do not have the legal ties. But yet everybody who moves here feels, just because they're part of the United States, that it has to be that way. And they don't have to look at us. They look at us as black dogs.
Yeah, no good. I think everybody should have more respect for each other.
And if we all
other,
respect
yeah.
each other, how much more better we can all live with each other?
Yeah, way better.
You know what I mean?
Way better.
So much better. Like I said, instead of coming up to the local and venting at them or asking a really nice way, we have a problem. No, come over there with your hands on your hip and try to tell a local, whoa, what's what you going to do? Just because you moved in a neighborhood.
I have a question for you. I think the first step would be, because we all know government uses coercion through violence, as you said,
yeah.
with guns. This is a genuine, from the bottom of my heart, question. I support the Hawaiian sovereignty movement. What do you fear would happen? Do you support a U.S. Territory? What do you feel would happen if...
It has nothing to do with U.S. territory, because there was a... Prince Kuhio set up in the United Nations, got recognized in 1947 as First Nation. We don't need a United States entity to come in and now tell us what we should. No, we don't. That they've been doing this all our lives, and we got nothing left.
Well, thank you for answering that. I did not know that. I appreciate that.
They took everything, and they're still taking. Why would we let them go try and lead the Fox House again? and protect the fox house when they're the ones stole the fox house.
Well, thanks for calling in and sharing your views. I think it's really important that everybody get their voice heard. And, you know, places of discussion that have to begin with respect. We can have different ideas. We can have different backgrounds. We can come from different places. We can know different things.
But when they make us out to be big, ugly, scary people, or big, scary people, now you know what they're doing? They're making like they're afraid of us. And they're so afraid of us that we shouldn't even be here on the land anymore. You know, and that's what it seems like. So just remember, we moved to Polynesia. We are respectful people. We've always been respectful people. We are the reason why we call Ohana, Ohana. But yet, we got to understand, everything has been raped from us. We have to forgive all them and move forward. But yet, we got to realize where we live. This is Polynesia. Has nothing to do with the United States and America. It's just the gun and the laws they get is protecting them and scaring everybody to be thinking that this is America.
I have one last question for you. Are you saying because I'm not very well studied on it, but the UN, is it a resolution?
Happened in 1946, when it was called the League of Nations, this person who was on the $50 bill of New Zealand bill, Prince Kohio ended up there. That person on the $50 New Zealand bill went to the United Nations in 1946, was called the League of Nations, filed the papers that Prince Kohio sent him with for the Kingdom of Atui. Original name for Kauai is in the older maps.
So what I'm asking is, does this protect this UN resolution? Does this protect the territory of Hawaii from other nations? It basically be illegal for another nation to invade.
The Kingdom of Atui has the only recognition for the whole Polynesia Triangle, which is called the Royal Union of the Pacific Nations, which consists of Micronesia, Melanesia, and Polynesia.
And these are all the islands in...
within that triangle. Within the Polynesian triangle.
Ka Moana Nui.
Te Moana Nui.
Te Moana Nui. The great ocean.
Thank you very much for your call. You cleared up quite a few questions that have been lingering with me.
Yeah, but you know, we love everybody, and we're respectful to everybody, and I just got to say, you know, God bless everybody, and let's all start working together.
Do you have any suggestions for how people can approach each other with greater respect so that we can all have a conversation that actually goes somewhere and doesn't run into, like, walls?
Well, you know, that's hard because each individual is different. When you deal with each individual, no matter what it is, most times when somebody will come out, usually they're already built up to a pressure where they're not going to be nice anymore. They will come over for grandma too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to think about all this and that. But I just did say we all got to get along no matter what.
So let's say you and I were neighbors and we lived next door to each other. And let's say I had a dog who was stay barking all the time and it was keeping you up at night or whatever's. How would you think it would be best to come to me and say, your dog? How would you approach me?
I live in Honolulu.
Okay.
I get 12 dogs in my yard. My dogs bark. They smell pig. They bark. As dogs all bark. When you have a dog, they bark. So no matter what, if you have a dog, it's going to bark. Whether you like it or not, the dog's going to bark.
Okay.
That's all I can say. You can't stop a dog from barking. But I have 12 dogs. So all my neighbors really love me.
But if you had a problem with something I was doing as your neighbor, it was keeping
my neighbors come over, they talk to me, and we figure out what we can do best. That's all we can do.
So if I'm playing my music too loud, what do you do?
I probably dance from my house. You have to play music.
What if I like music you don't like?
Put it this way, brother. Things only gonna bother you as much as you allow them to. It's up to you. You each, in the, like I said, back to each individual, how that person is. For me, things only bother me as much as I allow them to. You know what I mean? I go there and I speak with nice humbleness. I'm not threatening. I don't come with madness. I come with happiness. I share, you know what I mean?
So can you give me an example of how you would approach me if I was making some noise that was bothering you?
I would ask you nicely. This noise is bothering you. But things like I said don't bother me. It don't bother me. No matter how much noise my friends and family is making next door. I'm from here. This is our way of life. We call this Ohana. We accept everything our neighbors doing if we move in a neighborhood. We don't go into a neighborhood and try to change their neighborhood. We blend in and work with it. That's all I can say, you know. So, tell everybody, God bless out there. We love you all.
So what is a good first step to build Ohana?
Well, first of all, it's not in a book. You don't read that stuff in a book. It comes from your heart. How much are you going to accept your family?
So...
You know, Bobo said, Ohana is the shit. It's the family. The family is the family, no matter what.
So
you guys not gonna understand that. You can only tell a guy so much, you know what I mean?
Well, what I'm hearing you say is it's gotta begin with respect and acceptance. That's what I'm hearing. That's the subtext.
Well, pretty much, yeah. Respect goes a long way.
Well, thanks for calling in. Really appreciate you saying out loud what a lot of people don't say.
Yeah, well, you know, we speak our minds, you know, and some people take them as a threat, and some people understand what we're talking about, you know? Like, you get 10 judges, they all can judge everything differently. Like I said, it's all in each individual, how they are. But like they say, Kauai either going to accept you or not. It's the mana from the land. It's your attitude that you bring to our land and how you present yourself and walk lightly on the land and clean, you know, and do stuff that's pono, positive, you know, stuff the land going to love. The land accept you. When you fight the people and go against the people, then you're just bringing stuff upon you that's not going to make it last year.
I think
straight
it's
up. That's what you call mana.
It's tricky for people who come from.
It really is because they don't understand the culture
because they weren't raised that way.
They were never raised like that. They never saw it really like.
They don't understand. They don't understand those values
around us. You know so.
Yeah. It's tricky.
But just like, you know, like I said, you cannot read that everything in the book that going to teach you the right way. A lot of it is common sense.
Yeah, but common sense, not always so common.
Yeah, well, that's for the people who don't have any. Well, you guys have a good day.
Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Aloha. We got some other callers who've been patiently standing by. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Are you there? Can you hear us, caller?
Hello. Are we on?
You are on. Your words are beaming across the interstellar medium.
Well, terrific. It's a lively discussion, and you're right, Jonathan. When folks call in, it makes for a lively call-in show.
Is that why you're calling in, caller?
I am calling in to talk story about next week's show, a little bit more about our community radio and where we'll be broadcasting from. We have tentative plans.
And what are those tentative
from
plans?
Hawaii County Farm Bureau Fair. And that's happening next Thursday, opening up. And it's going to be all weekend long, but out of the box. Well, with the technical assistance of many volunteers, we'll be broadcasting live from the fair and trying to kick things off. Wanted to just put it out there as well that there will be a honey tasting. A honey tasting sponsored by the Kauai Beekeepers Association with a partnership with Kauai Community College Apiary Program and the County of Kauai Office of Economic Development and the Kauai County Farm Bureau. They are kind enough to help support local honey production.
Well, the county fair, the Kauai County Fair, is one of the biggest things I think that happens on this island every year. There are people who haven't seen each other in 15, 20, 30 years because one person lives up in Haena and one person lives down in Waimea. And they never, ever go past Lihue, but they'll get together on the fair. That's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool thing. And KKCR will have a booth, so if listeners are out there and want to come meet some of our volunteer radio programmers and volunteers, or if you're interested in volunteering and sitting at the booth, you can give the office a call at 826-7774 and suggest, hey, I'd like to volunteer and hang out and talk story with folks about our community radio.
So let me see if I got this right. Are you saying that KKCR is going to be broadcasting from the fair?
I believe that there will be a number of shows broadcast from the fair this year. And I'm kind of excited about that prospect because we haven't done that before. And like you said, Jonathan, the fair is kind of a big deal. Every year around August, we all get together and have fun. Maybe not all of us. I know that some folks avoid the fair or avoid any type of large crowds and big public areas.
Sometimes there's a lot of like sticky things there, you know, like spilled soda pop or cotton candy and people whirling around on these rides and so much tents and tables and booths. It's
all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, a bajillion things.
Yeah, yeah. And so next week for our Out of the Box show, and you guys were talking about Neighbors, and we are going to hopefully have an interview with Lauren Russert, who is the one of several paid professional beekeepers in the state.
I didn't know we had any of those.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, we have a couple of them, but they reside mostly on the Big Island. We're lucky on Kauai. We have a couple of paid professional beekeepers, but not as many as they have on the Big Island. That's where the majority of beekeeping activities for the state occurs. And
on the Big Island.
For a variety of reasons, mostly related to honeybee queen production.
I bet you it's partly because it's so big.
Yeah, it's a very, very large in landmass as well as elevation. And so beekeepers are able to move bees from, if you will, elevation to elevation to better capture whether it's crops that they're going to be pollinating, because I know that there's some crops on the Big Island that beekeepers will help with pollination enhancement,
sure.
As well as catching some of the floral resources that bloom earlier down low, and then later on in the season will bloom later on. So some beekeepers will move their bees accordingly.
Hmm, interesting.
So that goes on, and same with queen rearing, the ability for, just like our GMO seed folks, they take advantage of the year-round environment for growing. Beekeepers on the Big Island will take advantage of the year-round season for queen production, and that actually is the biggest value monetary-wise that local honeybee production contributes to our local economy is the sales of honeybee queens.
Queen breeding.
Queen breeding. So queen rearing is, it's easier said than done.
I've never even tried.
Yeah, well, we're going to be doing
I've known a few queens
at Kauai Community College, and we're going to be working with the local Department of Agriculture. In fact, they're going to be looking for local beekeepers who will want to participate in their queen rearing process, because we're going to be bringing in semen from outside of this area. Now, this is, might raise the antenna of some folks that why would the Department of Ag import genetic materials from outside for our local production?
To increase the genetic diversity, maybe?
To do that, and also to help, if you will, help build a better bee, to provide maybe traits or qualities that are sometimes lacking or non-existent. And beekeeping folks have, for the last decade, discovered this test called Varroa mite. And Varroa mite actually will devastate honeybee colonies and has done so across the globe. Kauai is one of the few places on the planet that doesn't have Varroa mite established. We have it on Oahu. We have it on the Big Island. But fortunately, Maui and Kauai are two islands in the middle of the Pacific that do not have this Varroa mite. So they're going to bring this quality called Varroa-sensitive hygienic queens.
Wait, say that again real slow.
Varroa-sensitive hygienic bees.
So what does that mean?
Well, it means they're like OCD and they're like always cleaning themselves.
Ah.
And in the process of cleaning themselves, they knock off mites.
Ah, I see.
And so we don't have that strain or that genetic quality in our local bees because we don't have Varroa mite.
I see. Okay.
So there's some scientists who are sure that we could improve our local stock and prepare for the inevitable infestation of Varroa mite.
So this would be a way to bring in new behaviors for the bees here so that they could be better, more effective at resisting Varroa mite infestation.
I guess that's the scientific theory.
That's so extra hygienic bees.
Extra hygienic bees. Now, and they're also going to bring in some qualities like gentleness and honey production because a lot of beekeepers value honey production.
And gentleness. I really value that in my bees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then back to the, you know, tying it into the good neighbor policy for some folks who haven't been paying attention. There was a recent legal case where a Wailua beekeeper was taken to court by his neighbor, and the neighbor objected to having these bees because he was allergic to bees, and a number of people are allergic to bees, and most people who are allergic to bees know that they are and carry an EpiPen.
Yeah, they sure do. And it can be pretty spooky if you're allergic to bees.
Yeah, and that's the issue. It's a real and dramatic issue. If you were one that suffers from anaphylactic shock when you're stung by a bee, or maybe when you eat crab or shellfish, sometimes that triggers it for people.
Yeah, your whole body blows up, and your throat can swell, and you can suffocate.
And die.
And so die, right.
Yes, and so it's not a good thing. I'm looking at an EpiPen right now at the KCCB lab, and, you know, it's something that beekeepers will have on hand because you never know.
You want to be prepared.
You want to be prepared. It's absolutely true. So that lawsuit is, you know, one that we talk about because it will impact beekeeping. This resident who didn't appreciate the proximity of bees decided to sue his neighbor because he felt that his neighbor's bees had presented a great risk or caused bodily harm. And the judge agreed with the plaintiff. And the defendant lost in court. I'm not quite sure if that's final, or there's no way to appeal, or if there's any.
It could be under appeal.
It could be. I don't know. And so we'll have to see. But Lauren Russert might be able to add some insights. She certainly will be able to share some of her professional experience on ways for us to be good neighbors. I was speaking to somebody a little bit about the issue of bees and neighbors suing each other, and the analogy with the Pioneer lawsuit and the Waimea Valley residents who are complaining about their neighbors spraying and being impacted by an agricultural practice, spraying pesticides that can be somewhat detrimental to one's health and well-being. This is something of great concern for a lot of us, and we can talk about it on the radio, on our community radio. We'll talk about it at the fair next week with Lauren Russert, and hopefully other people. I'm looking to recruit other members of the KKCR Ohana to help try to corral some guests. Look forward to having other people sit in on the conversation, maybe some beekeepers, maybe some policymakers. Dove, who hosts the wonderful show Evolve right after the Out of the Box program. We're looking to maybe hybridize a little bit of the Out of the Box Evolve Love Radio.
Well, speaking of hybridization, I want to let you wrap up your statement so we can get to the next caller who's been so patient, who has been so patient.
Well, that's wonderful. Thanks for that, Jonathan. I will wrap it up and say that next Thursday we're going to have some more dynamic community radio live from the fair, and look forward to working with you, Jonathan. I know Felicia said she might be available as well, so I appreciate your being accommodating and being available, and appreciate the work that you and Dano are doing in the booth right now, and our listeners for having the patience and perseverance to listen to some of us long-winded programmers, and we can go on and on and on, but we'll stop right there.
Yeah, it's not all well. It's not just the long wind. It's like the circular breathing technique of never even pausing.
Well, there you go. Sometimes if you pause, you might get interrupted. So we'll make space for others. And Jonathan, keep up the good work, and be friendly, be neighborly, and be kind. Aloha.
Aloha. I think we maybe have another caller. Are you there, caller? Yes.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Thank you for being so patient.
Well, I would just say beware of the Kauai Crop Improvement Association in wanting to improve our bees or our in crops or any of this stuff, because that's the GMO model there.
Are these new bees, are they going to be genetically modified, or are they doing it the old-fashioned way?
Well, we don't really want to talk about that. You know, we just gloss over that whole thing. Just like, who was it they were talking last time on the call-in show about, oh, they gave my bees some pollen this winter so they could survive on it, and they find out, oh, it's all genetically modified stuff. And so now their honey is no good to anybody if they're concerned at all about eating glyphosate, or however you pronounce that word. And it just seems like to the Hawaii Crop Improvement Association that this is how you improve things. You modify them so it fits your whatever you think is best, even though you don't know what the long-term results are of what's going on. So even though this guy is a product defense specialist, I believe, that we've just been talking to, and he comes up sounding really good and everything like that, he's talking about modifying bees, modifying everything to suit us better. We can do it better than nature's done, and we're that arrogant to try and tell you that we will.
Why can't we just let them be?
And then he tells us, oh, be friendly, be cool, be all that stuff as he goes. And they're the one that are putting all the pesticides all over the fields out there.
I'm actually quite positive, because I know that fellow pretty well. He's not a pesticide user kind guy.
But he works for the Kauai product. What do they call himself? Product Improvements?
No, I don't think he's with the Hawaii Crop Improvement Association. Mm-hmm. No. But I understand what you're saying.
Isn't that who's putting on our fair this weekend, or what do they call it, our 4-H club or whatever our Kauai fair is, a gardening fair this weekend?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I hope, you know, KKCR, it seems like it's a backdoor deal to try and couple with us, being that they're the seed production developers over there. Another thing I wanted to mention about our honey, you know, and I hate to bring it up on KKCR, really, but...
Are you sure? Because, I mean, you can take a moment right now and you can decide not to.
Yeah, I know, but I will anyway.
Okay.
Last time we had a fund drive, they were offering us honey with our pledges.
Okay.
It never showed up.
Uh-oh.
It never did show up because they find there was glyphosate in the honey, and they didn't want to expose us to that. That would be what I'm trying to take as being what happened.
But
nobody has said anything.
Do you know that that is what happened, or that's just your best guess?
No, I'm hoping that that's what happened. Otherwise, it would seem more unexplainable.
Well, if you're out there, Jimmy, we got some folks who want their honey. So,
you know, no, I don't want honey if it's got all glyphosate.
No, you want your nice...
tests are going on right now.
You want your nice...
I want to know more than anything what the test results are.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good. That's a good point.
Okay, another thing, last one, I'll get off the phone here shortly, is the Hawaiian who called in, and he was talking about the Hawaiians, how they treated everyone. When the government was overthrown, it wasn't just the Hawaiians of blood that were able to own this land on Hawaii. It was anyone who came to this land and was loyal to the land.
I think that's a really important point. The Hawaiian kingdom was one of the first multiracial, constitutional monarchies on the planet.
Inclusive of other races.
Yeah, it's a really important historical fact that a lot of people overlook. You know, in the 1850s, whether you were black or Chinese or South American or Caucasian or Irish or Indonesian, you could come to the nation of Hawaii and you could vote. They had full, what's that called? Not suffrage, but full... Anybody could be a citizen, anybody could own property, and in the U.S. at that time, women couldn't vote, and black people were slaves.
Right. So they were much more...
civilized.
Much more aloha, much more loving to any out you know, any people who wanted to take this as their home because they loved the land. But then if you didn't love the land, if you weren't here for the land, well, then you weren't really considered Hawaiian.
Well, you know, I hear a lot of people say that today that we have to support the TMT, we have to support the Super Ferry, we have to support geothermal energy. We have to support all of these businesses, because if we don't support every single business, then Hawaii will get the reputation for being a bad place to do business.
I've heard that a lot recently, and it just blows my mind.
I think that is garbage. This is just my opinion, and anyone else is free to disagree.
Let's put a little more lipstick on Kauai and sell her to the world, anybody who will buy her, you know?
Well, here's what I think. I'll just share this. If you have a bad business, this is a great place to have a terrible reputation to try and do a bad business. If you want to have a bad business, you should know that it won't fly here. If you want to do good business that's going to support you and the community and the environment, then that's a great place to do great business.
Right on, Jonathan. So it's good that there is a filter that people have to go through. We don't want to just have them come and do anything they want to do on this land.
Well, you got to respect the place. You got to respect the people. You got to respect the culture. And you gotta summon up aloha inside yourself. And when you do those things, when you begin with respect, everything works so much better.
Right on, Jonathan. Hey, you know what? I appreciate your show, and I appreciate you. You're really coming along as a DJ so much more. I really appreciate everything you've done, bro. Aloha. Thank you.
Aloha.
Bad business really opens the door for good businesses to come on in and give it a shot. So,
oh, yeah.
If anything,
after you set a bad example.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So people know what not to do.
Wow. Okay. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, a bad place to do bad business, a great place to do great business, business that serves everyone, where you're not just extracting profit from the community, but you're creating abundance that everybody can share. And that's good for you. That's good for the community. And it's good for your bottom line. Thank you so much for tuning in to Out of the Box this afternoon. Dano, you have some final parting words of wisdom. Do you have some mana you can put where your mouth is?
I'd just like to thank you very much for having me on, giving me the opportunity to share the mic with you. It's a great experience.
What would you say to other people who might be also interested in plugging into community affairs?
It's amazing. I mean, you get three meals, a cot. No, it's been wonderful. It's like a family up here. I come up here to volunteer just for the camaraderie, for the fun. If there's something for everybody. If you're a computer person, if you want to file things, if you want to go pick some bananas. I mean,
there's a lot of music to sort through, and there's people coming in a couple days a week doing community affairs. If there's something going on in the community that you think is important and you want to share, step up, plug in, and we'll do it together.
Yeah, and I have met more wonderful, interesting, eclectic, I worked a graveyard shift last night, so I'm a little stuttery, but it's amazing up here. So any folks out there considering volunteering, just show up, talk to Dove, talk to Dean, and aloha.
Well, aloha. Aloha to you. Thanks so much for tuning in. Coming up next, don't touch that dial because you are about to evolve. Dove's going to come in, and who knows what he'll play. Not even him. You got to tune to KKCR, the station that loves...